It is a joy to be with you this morning. I had a long ways to go just across the street here. I love the kingdom work. I love that we have so much more in common and that Jesus is working in our lives. Amen? Amen. I know that the last 4 weeks, Pastor Jake, Pastor Douglas, Pastor Alex, and myself, we have just got together, actually prior to a few weeks ago, months ago, and started talking about what would this look like. And we went with, what if the church? And those are great questions. How many know that good questions are good, is better than a good answer? A good question is better than a good answer. It really is. We have to ask ourselves good questions. And so the question I have for us today as a church is, what if the church wasn't offended? What do you think? What if the church wasn't offended? You know, we live in a day and age, in an era of offense. Anybody have Facebook? You can get in trouble on there, can't you? I can offend somebody pretty quick, like, right? You know, I know, and there's a lot of people that get offended. It seems like everywhere, everyone, someone is always being offended. Matter of fact, I would just say this: victimhood has gone viral. Everybody's a victim. Matter of fact, men are offended, women are offended, children are offended. We had three babies born last week at Inglewood, and they were offended. I mean, seriously, the first thing they did was cry. They were cold. You know, this world's cold, man. I was nice and warm. And, you know, the Democrats are offended. The Republicans are offended. Doesn't take too long to look at the news and see that. The millennials are offended. Gen Z's offended, the baby boomers are offended, and even the chicken is offended. Everywhere you go, somebody is being, go Steelers, I'm talking right now. This is of God right here, I'm telling you. That blessed my heart. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Okay, no apologies. I've been in Inglewood for 10 years, and I bring my terrible towel every Sunday. I'm just telling you. I didn't bring it over here. I didn't want to cause any offense. Okay. Some of you know the writer John Bevere, and John Bevere writes this. This is a profound statement. I believe we need to hear it, and it's this. An offended heart is breeding ground for deception. The enemy from the very beginning of time was out to deceive us. Man, is he good at doing it. The father of lies, he's out for us, isn't he? And when we get offense come our ways, which it will come, and we'll talk about here, and we'll see it in Scripture, matter of fact. What do we do with a culture and a society that we live in that's full of offense? What do we do with it? You know, it's interesting. We'll be in Matthew. If you look at the Word of God, some of you have them on your phone. You know, you got the Word everywhere you go now, which is awesome. Some of you still carry that thing. It has, like, pages in it. That's a paper, you know, the Bible. Yes, that's awesome. We'll go to Matthew chapter 15. That's where our text is today. But before we get there, Jesus was talking to the disciples in Matthew 24 and talking about the signs of the second coming. How many know that Jesus is coming again? Yeah. And he gave us signs of what the world would look like. And one of them in Matthew chapter 24 was we would be living in a culture of offended people. I think Jesus is coming soon. Matter of fact, I want you to see this in Luke chapter 17. I know you're going to your text in Matthew. That's fine, but we'll put it on the screen for you so you can see it. But in Luke chapter 17, it says that he was talking to his disciples, and he says, it's impossible. This is the Son of God. that can do the impossible, right? He's saying this. It is impossible that no offenses should come. Jesus is telling you offenses are going to come your way. They're coming at you. The question is, what are you going to do with them when they come? And he says, but woe to him through whom they do come. So they're going to come your way. It's a matter of fact, how do we process that? How do we navigate that as Christians? Wow. Don't act surprised when you have offense coming your way, is what Jesus is saying. He does not tell us that it's impossible not to get offended. Because let me tell you, there's a difference between offense and being offended. I want you to hear me this morning on this. Offense is coming your way, but you have the choice to be offended. I want you to see this. In other words, offense is an action. Offended is a reaction. Are you with me? Do we have any parents in the house? Anybody have any kids? Hopefully, if you're a parent, you're kids, right? I have a 14-year-old, just went into high school. I told my wife she needs to go work at the high school. So she teaches at the high school that he goes to now. We got eyes right on him. And then I have an 11-year-old that's about to go into middle school. And there are times when our kids can do something and we want to react to it, right? And not only if you're parents, but just if you're working with somebody, or better yet, if you just know someone in your life, there's often things that happen that we can react to, and we have to be careful. Matter of fact, I want you to know that offense, yes, is it's an action. Offended is a reaction. Here's another way to look at it. Offense is an event that takes place, but to be offended, it is a decision. Anybody enjoy Pastor Douglas last week? Espanol poquito. I'm not going to speak in Espanol, but I will tell you this, that he talked about decisions, didn't he? Decisions change and affect our lives every day. Matter of fact, you got up this morning, you had a decision to make. You could stay and go to the church with Pastor Sheets or Sister Pillow, or you could come here, right? I remember back in the college days, I always, you know, liked that bed. And on Sunday mornings, sometimes it's hard to get out of bed because God wants to do something in your life. And isn't it interesting that the enemy wants to pull you in the opposite direction than where Jesus wants you to go? That's another sermon for another day. So if offenses are inevitable, I want you to realize that being offended is optional, because there's a big difference. Matter of fact, I'm going to make up a word. Is that okay? We have any English teachers? I married one, so she's English and Spanish teacher. So I'm going to make up a word. Everybody say this word with me. It's not in a dictionary, but I want you to say it with me. Offendability. Doesn't that sound good? Don't you think it should be in there? Okay, we'll take a vote and it'll get there, right? Offendability. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. Your level of offendability is an indicator of your spiritual maturity. God bless you. Have a great week. That's kind of a drop the mic, see ya, I'm out of here type thing, right? But it's true. Your level of offendability is an indicator of your spiritual maturity. And I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 15. Would you go there with me? Let's try something a little different. I didn't do this for the 8 o'clock service because I wasn't awake and they weren't either. I'm just teasing. They were awesome. Matthew chapter 15, would you stand for the reading of the word this morning? In honor of God's word, changes our lives, transforms us, not only when we hear it, but when we do it. We sang it this morning, from the head knowledge to the heart. Father, as we read your word today, as we look into it, I pray that it would not only go in our ears, but it would be transformed to how we carry out our lives and who we become. In Jesus' name, Amen. Would you just remain standing for the reading of his word, and then I'll have you sit here in just a moment. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman, listen to this, from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." You can be seated this morning. We're going to journey through this scripture, and we're going to walk through it because I think it's important to see the context of what we're dealing with. First of all, we have a Canaanite woman going into a group of Israelites. If you know anything about the context and the history, there have been for generations an offense and friction between the Canaanites and the Israelites. Okay? It's like KU and Mizzou, right? There's a battle. There's a friction. Kansas City and the Raiders, right? This is what it's like. This Canaanite woman's going into a circle of people that don't necessarily even care about her and her need that she has at that moment. And she cries out to Jesus. In verse 23, we see that Jesus didn't answer a word. Now, I'm going to give you four offenses today in this scripture. If you're taking notes, you can write them down. They're going to be on the screen for you this morning. Four offenses. The first one is this. The fact that Jesus didn't say a word, there's the offense of being ignored. Have you ever been ignored before? Yeah, I think we all probably have. I'm married. And I married up. But my wife is an intellectual person. She's a processor. I'm an activator. When I ask a question, I want an answer. But my wife wants to think about it. Do we have any processors in the house? You just need to think about it, right? Yeah, there's some process. We have any activators in the house, you know? Yeah, that's awesome. I'm with a lot of group of activators here. That's cool. But I'm just telling you, have you ever felt ignored? And it's a joke with my wife, but I'll just tell you this. There's many times where we feel like our voice is not being heard. And that's offense. And sometimes when we're in that situation, we don't feel like, well, no one's listening to me, so I am out of here. This woman could have taken this offense and just walked away. But she didn't. You know, the mother here is going to experience a series of obstacles and stumbling blocks that could discourage her to walk away. Jesus didn't answer a word. And this is interesting because Jesus didn't answer her. The disciples now, catch this out, they falsely assume his silence was rejecting her. And so they begin to say, "Send her away." We'll see it here in our text here in just a moment. But your assumptions can get you in trouble, right? Assumptions aren't always accurate, are they? They're not always the truth. I just met Daniel this morning, and I love Daniel. He's a great, great guy leading us in worship. Give it up for Daniel, yeah? And Daniel and I, I just met him. We're not friends on Facebook yet, you know, but I could post something. I don't even know if Daniel's on Facebook, be honest with you, but I could post something, you know, on Daniel's page and say, "Hey, I met Daniel today, great guy, led worship over here at Maywood, and he's sober." Isn't that all true? Yeah. But what happens is somebody might assume there's other days he's not. Our assumptions can get us in trouble, can't they? And the disciples are assuming because Jesus didn't say a word. Jesus is rejecting her. And so this is what we see here in our text, and we'll look at it. In verse number, I think it's 24 or 23, actually, it says this: "So the disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away. She keeps calling out after us.'" Whoa, wait a second. Did Did this Canaanite woman say, John, Peter? No, she cried out to Jesus. Isn't it interesting when we think this is this problem for some people? We get more holier than thou when we get close to Jesus sometimes, that we put ourselves in his shoes. This is the offense in this section. I want you to see this. This is the offense of not only being ignored, but this is the offense of the institution. Have you ever been hurt by church people? You're never going to find a perfect church, because when you show up, it's no longer perfect. Okay? It's just true. It's true. And so we can sometimes get hurt by the institution, by the people that go to church, or like the disciples here, send her away. They're the closest people to Jesus. So not only is she having the offense of being ignored, then you add on top of it this offense of the institution of being hurt. Oh, she could have just ran. I'm out of here. I'm ignored. Now I'm being hurt by people that are closest to Jesus. Forget this. No. She did not do that. Matter of fact, never project the nature of man on the character of God. Okay? That's important. I think I have that slide. And there it is. They gave me this clicker, and I'm just having like pretending I'm playing a video game or something. Never project the nature of man on the character of God. Don't let people, what they say, determine who God really is and what his word is. Amen? Amen? So that's a big part. So we see here, then in verse 24, I want you to look at it in our text, he answered her and said this, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Oh, wow. Not only was she ignored, then hurt by the institution, now she has this offense of insignificance. Have you ever felt insignificant before? Have you ever felt like you just weren't valued? This is the Canaanite woman at this moment. She's like, wait a second, I'm here, I'm desperate, I need help. And now you're telling me you're not even here for me. Interesting. Offense has a lot to do with the perspective in which we have. And offenses are a lot like lenses. Okay? What's your name, sir? Brian? Brian, come here for a second. Everybody give it up for Brian? Okay, Brian. You and I both wear glasses.
Right.
Okay. I take mine off. I can't see anything really past here. I'm blind. Are you similar to that?
Yeah.
Okay. These offenses that we have are like lenses. It's all on how we look at it. So I want us to switch glasses. I want to see if you are blind. Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. What'd you say, Brian?
I thought, oh my God.
He's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? No wonder you can't see things right. If I was looking through these things, I couldn't see either. You know what I'm saying? Right? I mean, it all depends on what kind of lens you're looking through. Are you with me? So here we have, give it up for Brian. We have a Canaanite woman standing here, and Jesus just said, hey, I'm here for the lost sheep of Israel. Well, for her lens, she could have offense, right? But let's take you somewhere. I've ever been to the ER before. Okay, so I go to the ER, and I have a horrible injury. I mean, it happened on my left finger. It's a hangnail, okay? And I go there, and I tell them, hey, I need a doctor to look at this, and they tell me to have a seat. I'm sitting there for 2 hours, and this guy comes in on the gurney, and he's having a heart attack, and they hurry up and take him. Like, what's the deal here? I've been here for 2 hours, right? Here's the deal. There's a sense of urgency for the guy that's having the heart attack, right? Over the hangnail. Everybody agree? If you don't agree, you probably shouldn't be working in the ER. You know what I'm saying? There's a sense of urgency. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's not telling the woman that she doesn't matter. It's all on how you look at things. Jesus is saying there's an urgency here for the reason I'm standing here today. Are you with me? Sometimes we assume that we don't matter. So this is the offense of insignificance. And then we see this. This just keeps piling up. Not only was she ignored, then the institution heard her. Then she felt insignificant because Jesus is here for somebody else. But then Jesus says this. He said, it is not right to take children's bread and toss it to the dogs. This is the offense of being salted. Jesus just called this woman a dog. Now, all of you are like, Jesus said that? Listen, you have to understand the context in which this sits. The Israelites and the Canaanites, they constantly were at each other. Matter of fact, in those days, it was very common for them to refer each other as dogs. Okay? Are you with me? You tracking with me? But here's the difference. Here's the difference. In the Hebrew, if you do study this, the word dog that Jesus uses is different from the culture, what they use. They would call her a wild dog. Jesus called her a pet dog. Now, you guys sitting here like, she was still called a dog. No. This is a big shift. A wild dog has to go to the garbage dump to try to scrounge around for its food. A pet dog gets things handed over from the master. Anybody have a dog in their house? Yeah, I have a golden doodle. He thinks he's a part of the family. His name's Bogey. Shouldn't name them Birdie, but I named them Bogey. And if I have steak and I have a little piece of steak with fat on it, guess what Bogey's going to get? He's going to get that piece of steak. And I say that to say this, because she answers Jesus with this. Oop, I'm going too fast. Back to our text. In verse 27, I don't have it on the screen, but you might have it in front of you. It says this. She says this in verse 27. Yes, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She understood. She understood the difference between referring to her as a wild dog versus a pet dog. Why is that important? I'll tell you why it's important. Because she understood what he was referring to. The fact that he was the master that could change her situation. So what happens in verse 28? Of our text, Jesus answered her. We'll get there. I don't know why I have the clicker. Where am I at? Oh, well, maybe it's not there, but I'll read it to you. Jesus said to her, woman. Now, Jesus is the only one who can get away with this, right? He says, woman, you of great faith, your request is granted. The daughter was healed 3 months later. 2 weeks later? No, the Bible says she was healed at that moment. Her daughter was healed at that moment. This is why you don't give me the clicker. Boom! So what's that say? Miracle. What do you need? Miracle. We don't like to be in a place of needing a miracle, do we? Listen to me, church. This lady, she was ignored. Could she have ran? You better believe it. But what should she do? Instead of using that as a stumbling block, she used it as a stepping stone. She was hurt by the church, the institution. Instead of using that as a stumbling block to run away, she used it as a stepping stone to get closer to Jesus. She felt insignificant. I have no value. Instead of running away, she used another stepping stone to Jesus. And then she was insulted. Every reason under the book to leave and run away. But instead of it being a stumbling block, she used it yet for another stepping stone. And what did she get? She got her miracle. My question is today, what is your level of offendability that makes you run away instead of getting your miracle? What is the thing that keeps you from getting closer to God? Identify that, because it has a lot to do with your spiritual maturity. We have to identify the areas in our lives where we lack maturity, don't we? And there are places in our lives we have to say, okay, this is the area where I lack maturity. I need to grow, and I need help. Because like this lady, she had to go through obstacles and testing. And 1 Peter, I'm going to have the ladies in the back. You probably are a lot better at me than the clicker than I am. But in 1 Peter, I want us to see this scripture. Peter says this, that he takes us, he tests our faith to develop us a faith that is greater than what? Greater than gold. Do you think for a moment Jesus was just encouraging this young Canaanite woman to persevere? You better believe it. Perseverance, the Bible tells us, it builds our character. Testing builds our character for perseverance, I should say. And so when we persevere, God honors that. Abraham was asked to take Isaac on the mountaintop to sacrifice. Talk about crazy obedience. But what happened? There was a miracle that took place because he was obedient to what God asked. David had to take on Goliath to become king. We see it as a pattern in Scripture, don't we? Where there's testing time and time again. And Jesus said to his disciples, if you ask and seek and knock, then the door will be open. What does that mean? You have to persevere through the hard times, because the miracle, my friends, is sometimes just one stumble block away. Some of you have been praying for things in your life that just hasn't happened, and you feel ignored. Just because Jesus doesn't answer the prayer or you don't hear his voice doesn't mean that he doesn't hear it and that it's not on its way. You have to persevere, friends, and believe that God has got your best interest in mind, doesn't he? I don't know about you, but I want nothing to get in way of my miracle. For all of us in this room today, I don't know exactly what you're walking through. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know your story, but I know somebody who does. Jesus knows exactly this morning where you're at. He knows what you're faced with. And he cares. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. The Bible says there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for a friend. That's the kind of love our God has for us.